iRockRadio.me. It is Jay Hunter in the studio along with Hamilton and our guests. We have Eternal Frequency, four-fifths of Eternal Frequency with us right now. Yeah. So we have Justin.
What's up?
Tamaqua. I mean,
how's it going?
ML.
Who's blonde. Mm-hmm.
That's right. She is newly blonde if you've seen the latest video. And also AJ.
Hey, what's up?
A lot has been going on since the last time this band has been here in the studio. Lots of changes have been going on, including your latest single, which is the cover of Nine Inch Nails, which we will get around to. But the first thing I want to address is the Central Pennsylvania Music Awards, the Hall of Fame ceremony, where Hailstorm was inducted, and you guys were chosen to do a tribute to Hailstorm. You guys want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh yeah, we were asked to do Familiar Taste of Poison, which we had a previous cover of it on Facebook, and I guess they liked it so much that they decided to pick us to do that. We were so incredibly honored by that.
What actually made you decide to cover that in the first place?
Sorry, go ahead.
That was more just on a whim, where we love Hailstorm and we wanted to do something that could hit home in a modern time because it came out a while ago. And, you know, just basically just rebuild it and, you know, bring it back into the forefront again. And also, you know, if you haven't heard us, listen to ML's voice, then it'll make sense.
It's definitely noticeable that they are an influence, at least of yours, ML, but I'm guessing of all of you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What made you choose that particular song?
It's different than any other song I think that they have, and it's always been my personal favorite Hailstorm song. Okay. And I've been wanting to cover it for God knows how long, and Lizzie obviously is a huge inspiration to me, you know, musically, vocally, everything. So I just wanted to pay tribute as best as I could.
Well, you guys did a great job, and of course you definitely won over the entire crowd of the Whittaker Center in the capital of Pennsylvania, Harrisburg.
It was a blast.
It was amazing. It was a good time.
What was it like being there? Like, you guys have been there before, and you were nominated for awards, and you had won the Best New Band of the Year in 2019. Mm-hmm. But what was it like now being there, not accepting an award, but actually, like, being up there representing the people that were being inducted, just like being inducted, and they're also Grammy winners.
Yeah.
So you know, you were representing Grammy winners at the Central Pennsylvania Music Award.
At the end of the day, I think we just still felt like winners.
Yeah.
You know, just being able to pay tribute to a band that has inspired all of us.
Yeah. The year before, we won an award for Best New Artist, and that was surreal. But then we started seeing like all these different performances. We saw the tribute to Poison when they got inducted into the Hall of Fame, and we all were just kind of like sitting in our chairs looking at each other, and we were just like, we got to do that next year. And sure enough, we got asked to do so.
And the cool thing about this year was that we were the only local band that performed. You know, the other bands that were being inducted into the Hall of Fame were performing as themselves, and you know, it was really cool that they picked a local band to perform for Hailstorm. I think that was amazing.
That was a good feeling. The Madleys were dope.
They were awesome.
They're
so cool.
Yeah.
They were
Jeffrey
amazing.
Gaines too. I love Jeffrey Gaines.
Jeffrey Gaines was awesome.
Yeah.
So you guys have definitely been on a roll. You've opened up for a number of bands throughout the Harrisburg area as far as you know, national concerts. You've headlined some shows. Let's segue from where we were talking about the Music Awards and representing Hailstorm to the fact that you guys do have a sound that's kind of unique as a combination of a whole bunch of different influences. Why don't we go through with each of you and, you know, talk about some of your different influences that you have. Start with AJ.
I mean, I've got a lot of influences, like from the moment I started playing guitar. I mean, I learned literally all of Green Day's songs in order to learn how to play guitar, and then even presently I'm just really influenced by like Motionless and White, Wage War, just like heavier bands now.
ML?
I'm influenced by everything from as heavy as Slipknot all the way through Michael Jackson and Fleetwood Mac. They inspire every part of me musically, vocally, just everything. So I think as a band we're very influenced by like Seven Dust, Papa Roach, Hailstorm, obviously. The list goes on and on. Dane?
Yeah, like, I'm kind of in the same boat. It's mainly, like, more of, like, on the heavier side of music for me, like Slipknot and bands like that. But my dad, actually, he was one of my main influences for not only wanting to play music, but also, excuse me, for my love for music. And, like, I'd be in the car as a kid, and, like, we'd go from Korn's Blind to, like, all the way to NWA to the Grateful Dead and so on. And I don't know, just music was everywhere for me. And drums was something that I kind of picked up on, and I'm really happy that I decided to pursue it and got to meet these fellow people that I'm here with today, and I couldn't be any more happy about that.
We love you, Dane.
We love you too.
And apparently you love Justin, but that's that's another story.
My forearm's still moist.
Oh. Oh man. And America's Moist Wanted. What is
my influences now? I'm gonna,
and don't just go reading stuff off the wall right now. I see you looking at the wall.
Listen, I don't know if you guys have actually been in the iRock radio station, but like literally everything that's on the wall is pretty much everything I grew up listening to, and so I could name a whole bunch, but I'm gonna stay awake, close my eyes real quick, and I'm gonna give you my real influences. Hang on. I'm a selfish musician, so I grew up like listening to instrumental guitar players. They were the ones I cut my teeth with, so I was very influenced by Joe Satriani, Steve Vai, Yngwie Malmsteen, and then I started getting a little bit more into like the proggy elements, so I liked Dream Theater, and you know, but then 2001 happened, and 2001, in my JNCOs, I realized I have this love for nu metal, and so it doesn't really matter what it is. I even love Limp Bizkit. I don't care how many people bash them, but I love bands like that. I love the hip-hop meeting the heavy, aggressive grooves. And honestly, I haven't left that really all that much. There's some new modern bands that I like bands like Wage War, but and Motionless in White, like what AJ said. But typically, I do go back to that kind of new metal groove thing, especially when it comes to our writing. We started really honing in on that performance and sound when we did Parasite. And from there on in, we've gotten heavier, we've gotten groovier, and now with our newest single, I got to hone in probably my biggest influence of all time, which was Trent Reznor.
So. Nice. Well, we are definitely going to talk about the new single, the cover of Head Like a Hole, which is just taking off on YouTube. But I did want to kind of discuss your influences that you all have. Which I guess isn't as diverse as I thought. I mean, as a band, anyway, individually.
I like Stevie Ray Vaughan, too.
I think they're very diverse. But how was it that you brought all of those influences together to make Eternal Frequency? Like, what elements did you focus on, and which ones you're like, you know what, we like that, but I think we're going to set this this thing that we like over here and focus more in this direction?
There's something really cool about it. Honestly, it's ML's voice that kind of like brought the actual initial sound together. She has this very distinct rasp that I haven't heard from anybody, really. I mean, the closest one is Lizzie. And we all happen to be metalheads, so that kind of like worked out nicely. Mm-hmm. But there's something about her rasp and her dynamic range, and also just her, because she's been doing musical theater since she was a kid, so she has this character that she creates in every single song, and we do our best to honestly just kind of work around that, and that's kind of like how the Eternal Frequency sound happens.
Definitely has a character that she displays pretty much in every song, and there was quite the character that was portrayed in the video for Temptation. You guys want to talk about the video for a little bit, because that was a lot of fun.
I was a vampire. Roar.
I didn't know vampires
actually,
roared.
Was it Justin that turned you into a vampire?
Yeah, Justin was the... Yeah, it was like a whole Dracula-inspired thing.
I was the vampire. Roar.
Now, who was it that shot the video for that? Because that was some pretty good work.
That was Eric DiCarlo with Swear Up Studios. Yeah,
that was your first theatrical video, I believe, right?
Yep.
Any special preparation that was needed for that, or that was discussed ahead of time?
A lot.
Yeah, we actually had a whole script for that entire thing. We bought so many props. I still, to this day, I think we actually still have the Temptations journal that's actually showcased in the beginning.
Costumes.
We have so many costumes. We actually owe Jay my vampire costume.
We had extras. We literally picked out their costumes for them, had them do makeup, all that stuff. It was really... It's really cool.
Yep, we had to hire separate vampires for a massacre. We had to hire townspeople.
To get massacred?
Yeah.
You hired them so you paid everybody else?
They were volunteers.
Oh, okay. They were volunteers. Yep. We gave them the stuff that we bought.
No, we paid all of them minus one.
All right. Well, let's listen to... Let's listen to Temptation right now, and we will come back. We are talking to Eternal Frequency here on iRockRadio.me.
Yeah.
iRockRadio.me, real rock, real variety. We are hanging out in the studio with Eternal Frequency for the five members, ML on vocals, AJ on guitar, Dane on drums, and also Justin, who's playing with his ring.
Is that what I'm playing with?
Yes.
Who's also and Tyler, who cannot be here, who plays bass.
Yes, we wish him well. How's that? We wish him well. He's here in spirit.
Yes, love you,
for sure.
Love him. Love him.
Love that dude.
So, I mean, obviously, it's. I shouldn't say obviously. It feels like it was yesterday, but it's been like 2 years since the band was here in the studio. Wow. Obviously, we've talked a little bit of your growth because of the first theatrical video of Temptation, the song we just heard. Let's go with Emil and AJ on this question. So, how would you feel as though the band has grown over the last 2 to 3 years, just throughout everything, your writing process, your overall mindset, marketing, the whole nine yards?
No doubt, tremendously. It's been a huge shift, and I'm sure all of our followers have noticed it. Everybody, and just the writing has become so much more mature. Vocals have become so much more mature. Everything has just gotten bigger and better, and we're in a good place. We're a good family, and that's all I can say about it.
Honestly, it's like we don't have disagreements at all about our music anymore. I mean, it is so natural with writing because we all have the same mindset. Like, we all know what we want, and we go get it.
Yeah, I've never felt so close to people in my life until, you know, Justin joined the band, Dane, Tyler, and, you know, AJ, and I'm sure you can agree that it finally feels like a family now, and we have such a good thing going, and I love these guys so much. I'm so proud of them and how they've grown as well in the band, and just a good thing going, you know. I can't complain.
Absolutely.
When you're coming together to write a song, do you do that? Do you actually like have songwriting sessions, or do you kind of one person kind of has something in their mind and then you share it with the others and then you kind of like grow from there? Do you start with lyrics? Do you start with a riff? Where do you?
It's kind of a little bit of everything. It depends on the song. Like Justin, he starts with an idea, or AJ will start with an idea and he'll bring it to Justin and they'll collaborate on something. And then I'll write the lyrics and melodies for that. And then we'll all go into the studio and then we'll all tag team the song all together to create the final product that you hear today. I'm sure Justin can elaborate more on that too.
And actually, with that being said, she did say that we cover kind of all of those topics. We did, we've written a song recently. It's an unreleased song right now. But we wrote this song called Horizon, and that all was built around a melody that ML just used to walk around singing. And so it was really cool, because the only time that I have ever heard a band doing that was Shinedown, when Brent was actually singing 45, and they built the song around his melody line. And so when she was doing that with Horizon, it was really exciting because the song was done. We just had to polish it. And so, yeah, it really everybody has their input. Dane will do these things at practice to where he was just like, what do you think of this? And he'll come up with a really cool fill or something like that, and he'll be like, what do you think of that as an intro? So everybody actually can start a song in this band, but then we all finish it together. Mm. It's really cool.
Nice. Does it come up sometimes as, you know, hey, I just had this thought, or I just saw this on TV, or something really shitty just happened to me today and I want to make an angry song?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's straight up. We don't write a song unless it's real or it comes from our heart. That's the most authentic way to go about it. You shouldn't write a song that you wouldn't listen to and that you're not feeling. It's honestly like Parasite was based off of something that I was going through at the time but both, you know, AJ and I were going through at the time. That's what that song was about. and just everything. It's real in that moment. We don't write a song thinking, oh, you know, maybe this will, you know, get huge or it'll get bigger. This is for the radio, whatever. We write what's authentic and what we're feeling. And if it does well, great. But if it doesn't, whatever, at least we're being honest and real and our listeners can respect that.
Yep. Yeah, there's like literally been times where I'll present like an idea to these guys and then I'll be like, I can tell what emotion you were feeling that day when you wrote it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Actually, when we were recording What Are We Waiting For? That actually just came as an idea. Like, I was drawing a blank with a whole bunch of different things. I was just juggling a whole bunch of different songs. And AJ came to me with this riff that was like, dun, 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 dun. And I loved it. I thought it was awesome. And so we just sat at our house, just recorded, and we just built that song completely based off of just one little idea that was about 4 seconds.
Now, that was the last release that you guys did.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was of original material.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
And, well, our listeners know they've been hearing it a ton.
Oh, thank you, Jay.
And now, of course, they're hearing Head Like a Hole. So that kind of leads into this and where we are right now with the most incredible version of Nine Inch Nails that a lot of people have heard ever. Where did the concept come to choose Nine Inch Nails for a cover? I don't think many people do cover Nine Inch Nails. I mean, Johnny Cash did, but you know.
Yeah.
Right. And then also, what made you choose that song and how did it, well, answer that one first and then I'll have a follow-up.
Well, it certainly was a very ballsy move and we knew that going into it. We're just like, not everybody's gonna like this. And for the people that do like it, thank you very much. it's a ballsy move because the fan base of Nine Inch Nails is a very specific and a very strong fan base, and they feel very protective.
Yes.
Of Nine Inch Nails. And we knew that going into it. We knew it wasn't going to be everybody's cup of tea. Yeah. But we did it more so for the message that the song portrays. And also, selfishly, we just love Nine Inch Nails, and it's something that we've all wanted to cover. You know what I mean? So I'll let Justin elaborate a little bit because he's diehard Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, it was the most terrifying experience of my life.
So you're saying you didn't want to do it? Or you had reservations about doing it?
Oh, of course I had reservations because I, just like all of their fans, I protect Nine Inch Nails. And I mean, that man is... I'm going to go a little music nerd right now, but I mean, he is best known for layering and delivering sonic emotion. Mm-hmm. And there's all these little ambiances that are in his songs that you can't actually hear, but you can subliminally feel. And that to me is incredible. I mean, it's just like, think of a horror movie when you actually have like these little droney effects where it's just one note, but the way that it pulses in and out in its velocity, it raises your tension. It raises your anxiety. It makes you feel a certain thing. And that is what he's really well known for, is where he can put you in any position that he wants to. He can make you feel really uncomfortable and you won't know why. And so we wanted to take a stab at that because as we've kind of progressed as a band, we've really gotten involved in sonic cohesion to where it's not just, oh, here's a chord progression. This is cool, but it's a box pattern that every band has used before. We want to add on top of that, because that's definitely a good foundation. You know, us being, AJ and I being guitar players, we have a select amount of chords to actually, you know, work with. But when it comes to the overall production, we want to add like all these little nuances that you, once again, you can't really hear and they don't really stick out to you, but they do invoke a little bit of a new form of emotion without actually just the regular, you know, standard guitar, drums, bass, and vocals. There's all these other different ambiances that are going on. And since we've been dabbling more into that, what better artist to cover than Nine Inch Nails? Just because that's what he does. And we wanted to really kind of like open our minds a little bit more, and really more so it was an experiment. We wanted to dissect what the hell is going on in his head when he's doing stuff like this? And can we actually go down that rabbit hole with him? So it was a little adventure for us.
You know, doing Head Like a Hole, there's obviously a bunch of different electronics that are thrown in there. How did it affect you, Dane, as far as playing the drums? Because I'm sure it was something completely different than what you were used to normally playing.
Oh yeah, like that beginning, like when I first heard Head Like a Hole, and I heard like the electronic drums and being like do 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 do, like I listened to that and I was like, is that 4/4? Like I was kind of confused at first, and like the whole song was just kind of a bit of a process to like kind of work around, but I feel like it came out pretty great. And with the electronics meshing with it, I feel like it's just, it's such a cool thing. You know, like he said, all those layers and everything that are in there, it just adds to
like the it, anger. It does. You know, it's cool. It adds emotion. I never even knew it was psychology the whole time.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. And actually, let me just like tag team on that.
Would you like to lie down? Is that...
Oh, man.
Psychology? Yeah.
But like, seriously, I just wanted to add on to that, because that was actually one of... This song in particular, when it came to Dane, was his time to shine. I mean, his drumming in this song is uncanny. I mean, mm-hmm. I've never heard drumming like that
before. And when I first threw out the question, he was the one that was the most silent. It's like... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that was it.
That was it?
It was just a compliment. I love him.
Yeah, the amount of comments that we get on YouTube, the positive comments that we get... A lot of people mentioned Dane's drumming. They're just like one comment was, I loved it. It said that
he's got the devil in him.
So here we are with Head Like a Hole. And, you know, it's not that you haven't done other covers and videos on YouTube, but it's kind of spaced out. And we've spoken to other bands too, where, you know, they kind of do that as well, where they do a few originals and then they do a cover. And, like, you know, about 10-15 years ago, it was bands that would play in clubs, and they would play a lot of covers and then try to squeak in their own original music. Mm-hmm. There's definitely been a shift with YouTube and videos to be able to use your own music, and then every once in a while attract more attention with a cover. Is the pattern something that you're kind of sticking with? Like, I know you're releasing singles. Are you putting together an album, or are you just going to keep doing the singles and then kind of do like one or two more originals and then back to covers?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, please. We have a lot of originals coming down the pipeline. We've been prepping them and working on getting music videos set up for them. We're locked and loaded on that. I think our course of action for right now is to keep plugging out singles. Because I've come to find out in this day and age that sometimes people can have a shorter attention span. So to keep the attention going and to keep the momentum going, it's a smarter move to drop singles, especially when you're a local band trying to make a name for themselves. People will be more likely to pay attention to you if you drop single after single after single. And then once you are... once you're on your way and you start to have that really strong fan base, that bigger fan base, or you're signed to a label where you can make a full album and the people will pay attention to it. So I think that's what we're gonna do.
Yeah. This next slew of songs that we're actually working on right now, we're actually doing something that we've never done before, which is actually really, really exciting. And I'm just gonna say just a little teaser is we're actually going concept. We're going concept for the next couple of songs to where they actually they coincide with one another. So we're going to have three or four songs to where they're actually telling a story. The videos will tell a story, but they're going to be released as singles, but they're going to be a continuation.
Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's actually pretty exciting for us, because it's going to basically be an Eternal Frequency movie.
It'll be sick.
Yeah.
All right. So we have that to look forward to. How can people, aside from listening here to us, how can they find out what's going to be going on next in the endeavors of Eternal Frequency, your latest upcoming shows, and also touch base with you guys as you get, you know, are active on social media? How can they get in touch with you?
We're very active on Facebook. I would say that's our number one platform, and also Instagram as well. Be sure to follow us on there. Check us out there. You can also check out our website and subscribe to it, eternalfrequencyband.com.
Okay, and then all the links for social media are on the website?
They're on there, as well as like Spotify, iTunes, Apple, where you can listen to all of our music as well.
Wonderful. All right. So before I let you guys go, We have, of course, our three quickies and afterthought that we do with every band.
Oh, man.
So,
Do I remember this from last time? I don't know.
I vaguely remember it. It's been so long.
Well, we're gonna.
I know what quickies are.
So we've heard.
Hello, Mr. J.
Oh, the desk is levitating.
All right. For the first quickie, we'll start with Justin.
Great.
And then we'll move down, okay? Tacos or pizza?
Pizza.
Tacos.
Tacos.
Wow. Even though I'm Spanish, I'm going pizza.
All right. AJ, we'll start with you this time. Toilet paper, over or under?
Over.
Over, but I always put it under because I'm an asshole.
Beards are cooler than mullets, so over.
I've never heard that before. That was amazing.
And I'd like to thank you guys for coming out. Justin?
I'm not even a good grand finale. Over, okay?
All right. Let's see. Let's start with Dean on this one. AC/DC or Led Zeppelin?
Slipknot. No, Zeppelin. If I had to, Zeppelin, hands down.
Led Zeppelin.
AC/DC.
Led Zeppelin.
All right. And ML, we will start with you for the afterthought. Since we started with Justin for
God.
The quickie.
Okay. Oh, damn. Well, is that better to be an afterthought or a quickie? I don't know.
Oh, that's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Okay.
Believe it or not, I kind of did that randomly, too.
Hit me with your best shot, Jay.
All right, Pat. What is the one routine that each of you would do before you hit the stage, before you do a show, to get the adrenaline pumping or just get physically or mentally ready?
Well, as a singer, it's not exciting or anything, but I do my vocal warm-ups and I annoy the shit out of all these guys and they make fun of me while I'm doing my vocal warm-ups because I make funny faces.
AJ?
So I always do finger warm-ups on my guitar, and before we hit the stage, we all do a huddle every single time.
We do a huddle.
You do a huddle. Every time. Yeah. Finger warm-ups. Yep.
Yeah. Not perverted, Jay.
You finger that guitar so hard.
Especially Damn. The G string.
So you can ask all these guys. With me, it's a lot of jumping and drum rudiments. Like if I can find a chair, a table, or something like that, I'll grab my sticks. I'll try and do paradiddles, like stuff like that. Just try and get my wrists and arms warmed up. But the jumping, I feel like, just helps with the nerves. I don't know. I get a lot of energy, and I'm back there. I'm like, come on, guys. Like, I'm jumping up and down. They're all looking at me like I'm crazy, but like,
the boy can
it works,
eat.
Though.
Hey, I don't remember who it was, but I remember there was a band going on stage at the Chameleon Club back in the day, and backstage, and again, I don't even know what member it was or whatever, but he was doing push-ups just before he got on stage, just to get the adrenaline pumping. So,
a lot of bands do that.
What about you, Justin?
This is not trying to be funny at all, but I actually always, like right before a show, I have to take poop. I do. I don't know if it's nerves. I don't, it's true. Truth be told, I think everybody does, but I can only speak for myself. But yeah, that I'm not trying to be funny.
It's a poop. It can be nerves, actually.
Oh yeah, it is. It is. No, but it's okay. It is my ritual. I feel lighter, and I'm ready to roll.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
No.
Next time I go to the beach, I'm going to get one of those shirts that says "I pooped."
Excellent.
And I'm gonna give it to you so that you can wear it on stage.
I have a mug that says, you know, drink coffee. I pooped. You know, and so.
Hey, I pooped right before that Alita's Way show. I felt 10 times.
See
better.
What I mean? See what I mean?
Girls do poop.
No, they don't.
Don't ruin this for
us. No, they don't.
I can attest they do.
It's. I want to really thank you guys for taking the time to come out of your weekend to come here and hang out and have a few beers and make fun of me and do the interview.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
This
is awesome.
No, thank you. Even though you don't like blondes. What?
Huh? Whoa. Hamilton, do you have anything to add? No? He's just quietly hanging out over there? He's not?
Come join us.
I'm just the voyeur in the corner, that's all.
Well, again, thank you guys very much. Again, this has been Eternal Frequency. Next time you guys come, bring an acoustic guitar. We will plug it right in here.
Hell yeah.
And
Absolutely.
We will give them an acoustic performance of a song that they normally would not hear.
Of course.
Acoustically.
You got it.
Sounds good?
You got it. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so let's listen to it right now. Eternal Frequency's version of Head Like a Hole on iRockRadio.me.